I'm here with Igor Huat from the band Wasol, and we're talking a little bit about their somewhat new album and also about their upcoming show at Bell's on Friday. So thanks for being here, Igor.
Thank you, Rebecca.
What's going on with Wasol?
It's been really active year. As you mentioned, we released an album last November, so it's been almost a year. But it's still the one that we're featuring. We still play those tunes. And since then, like, we've had a lot of different gigs show up. We've been playing more at universities. We've been playing more around Michigan, and a couple of trips to Pennsylvania this year, a couple of trips to Ohio. So it's been very active, and we're slowly and surely, you know, increasing our activity as the years pass. So
another thing that I've noticed that you've been doing is you've been collaborating with a lot of dancers. Why collaborate with dancers?
A couple of things I can think of. On the one hand, since we play what we're currently calling Mediterranean fusion, but it's got a lot of a Middle Eastern component to it, it makes sense to think of Middle Eastern dancing, since there is a somewhat significant community here in Michigan. So that's one reason. Another reason is that it's good to have some variety, try some new collaborations, play new tunes or even play the same tunes and see how these turn out and how they feel when we have, you know, movement in front of us. It's really fascinating how the tune can suddenly change on you. So, and with that said, Sheila Bauer, who is the leader of Karma Belly Dance, contacted me about 3 years ago, I would say. And we started talking about ideas of working together. And at that point, she had not started her group. But we still worked a couple of times a year with her. We'd invite her to a performance, and she'd invite her to one of hers. And then she started her own group about a year and a half ago, if I'm not wrong. And then we slowly started talking more and are slowly starting to perform more and more together. So that's how that's growing.
So do you feel like the way you perform has changed since you started collaborating with dancers?
Yes, and it's partially because of playing for dancers and partially just playing more amongst ourselves as a group, Wasol. With dancers, we have to think about a couple of things. You know, how fast are we going to play these tunes? Because you don't want to play it too fast and have them trip all over themselves, right? And we've had some of those situations where, like, oh, that was too fast. Now it's too late to go back, but you apologize later. So so that's one thing, like how fast to play. Another one is how to listen. If I'm soloing, improvising, just with my group, that's one dynamic going on. I'm listening to certain people who are in the group, and I'm listening to the audience. But if I'm playing with a dancer and improvising and she, or if that happens to be he, there are some male belly dancers, but whoever the dancer is, if they are improvising along with me, I have to give and take with them. And that creates a whole new dynamic because they have their repertoire of movements. They have their preferences that are quite different than what musicians do. So you have to think about these things. And then slowly that develops your language.
Because I know that there is a lot of improv in your music. You know, how do you handle that when, you know, you're playing that same song, perhaps, and you have a dancer?
How do I handle that?
Do they just roll with it? You know, is it something that where you kind of craft that improvisation to maybe not be as sporadic, perhaps?
Good question. That's a good one. The two situations you mentioned are both true. They have both occurred. So in one type of situation, there's a dancer who's very comfortable improvising, period. We might not even rehearse with them. We'll just come up, we'll play our tune. We might even play an improvisation, and she'll improvise the whole thing to us. So in other words, whether we're playing the tune off the page or we're improvising, she is improvising with us. And in another case where we're planning a bit more ahead, we'll agree that, okay, these are where the spots, these are the spots where we'll improvise. And the dancer is aware of it ahead of time. It doesn't mean we'll play the same improvisation or she will dance the same improvisation, but she and we know where that will happen. So it goes both ways.
Let's talk the warp and the weft. What were some of your goals with this album?
The goals with this album, we wanted to release a feature CD that had a sizable amount of music on it and that was well performed and well produced. We didn't have that up till then. So we had created our own little demo CD, 5-6 tracks that we had self-produced. The performances were okay since we were still new, and the production was average since it was, you know, our home type of production. But it was good to get us started and, you know, send it to presenters, sell at shows, etc. But we needed this, you know, to kind of crystallize the repertoire we had, put it on disc, and produce it well.
The title, it's... Mm-hmm. Warp and weft is sort of terms when you're talking about weaving a rug. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Why did you choose that?
Well, now you caught me there because I forgot which one is the warp and which one is the weft. But the idea behind it is that when you're creating a tapestry, there are two layers. There's a layer that's more structural, that's hidden, that you, the final, you know, you don't see really in the final product. And then there's the other layer, which is what you see. And the idea is how this, sorry, and it reflects our group identity. So on the surface, you'll hear what we are now calling Mediterranean fusion, but our background that's not necessarily visible includes such things as classical music upbringing. All of us are classically trained musicians, includes jazz training. Some of us have played jazz or trained in jazz, includes rock, pop influences. So that's not really apparent, but it is part of who we are. That's why we chose that title, that name for our album.
You also produced this album with the help of Kickstarter.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Well, we knew we wanted to produce it really well, and it would cost us, without saying numbers out on the radio, it would cost us a certain chunk of money that we couldn't afford by ourselves, so we had heard some of our friends use Kickstarter really successfully, and we were really comfortable doing that. And luckily, we were able to raise 281% of our goal, which was great because it allowed us to go full out and, you know, the highest production value we could get out of it. So that was really good for us.
So in terms of style, you know, how does this differ from your previous album, Mosaic?
It's basically Mosaic version 2.0. It's more tunes, better played, the improvisations are better. So it's basically Mosaic a year and a half later with more experience and more comfort.
So do you feel like the whole band meshes together well, or was it just the smoothness in production that really made that?
No, it's the, I mean, the production is great, but it won't compensate for bad performance, right? And I'm very comfortable saying that, you know, the time difference between the first album and Warp and the Weft is huge when you're thinking about how the band meshes. It's one of those things that it's not just related to music. It's a very human thing. The more you spend time with somebody, the more the chemistry can develop, the more you know each other's habits, the more you're comfortable with the music itself. So we definitely mesh much better. And even since the album was released a year ago, we're even much more solid as an ensemble because it's just time and putting the investment in that relationship, which is carried out through the music. So definitely.
One of my friends is a fan of yours, and I asked him, you know, what should I ask them today? And he said, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about Wasal is their ability to bring a very old style sound and put it in a modern way. And one of the things that I was thinking about was the mandolin.
Okay.
So, you know, why did you make that decision to have the mandolin? And, you know, how does that affect your sound?
Well,
it's a big question.
It's really not too fancy, but the way we started, we were all MSU students and we had interests in world music. But so we basically decided one day to start a group so we could express that. And I basically cobbled up an ensemble with whoever was there. And we eventually ended up with the six piece we have right now. Now, with that said, although the mandolin is in there by chance in a way, you know, we didn't really determine ahead of time that we wanted this sound to create the fusion identity, all that. No, we didn't do that. But with that said, once we had the instruments we have, that's what you play with. That's your material. Like, that's the paint that you paint with. So what the mandolin does, for example, it fills in this role where you've got the clarinet, which is one of our melodic instruments. It's got the long tones because, you know, it's a wind instrument. Then you've got the oud, the Middle Eastern lute that I play, which is a plucked instrument, but is more in the medium range and low range. So if you're a singer, think about tenor or bass. And then you've got the mandolin, which is also a plucked instrument, but is in a much higher register. So again, if you're a singer, think of soprano range. So you're covering all the bases with the sound that you're creating with that, with those three instruments. You've got the long tones and you've got the plucked instruments from really low range to a high range.
What kind of response have you gotten from your audience?
I've heard like a broad range. Like some people are, like you're saying, like your friend mentioned, no, wow, you're bringing all these different things together. Like, wow, that's really cool that you do that. Some other people are like, there's this one guy I'm thinking of particularly. That one marked me a lot. He is a brother of a dancer we work with. The first time he watched us, he said he had no idea how to relate to us. He had never heard something like that before, and he wasn't sure what to think. Okay. And then the second time, and he's telling us this story before a show, he came up to me. The second time, he said, oh, yeah, there's something there, the beats and all that. And then the third time, he's like, wow, I can't wait to hear you guys. So I think there's like two kinds of audiences, some who are like, just get it right away, and wow, how are you mixing all these different things? And then there's another type of audience, okay, what's going on here? Okay, let me try to figure this out. And well, I mean, not everybody likes us, so.
You're playing at Bell's tonight,
mm-hmm.
And you're playing with Faugrass.
Yes.
And talk a little bit about them. You know, what are they like?
Faugrass, they're a bluegrass group, and we met them at the Wealthy Theater when we played a show with them. It was a collage concert involving dance and music run by Dance in the Annex. Then we talked about swapping shows, and because we loved what they play and apparently they like what we do, so we looked for that performance at Bell's. So we're really excited to share the stage with them. I think it's going to be a really, really good one.
So thank you so much for coming to speak with me.
Thank you for having me.